Ezekiel chapter number 37 tonight, if you have your Bibles. The book of Ezekiel chapter number 37. I'm thankful for the good singing tonight. The choir has been a blessing each night. Just gets better and better. Amen. And I appreciate the songs that were sung, the selection. This is my story. This is my song. I'm glad I've got a story tonight. The woman in John chapter number 4 left her water pots and went to the city and told the men, come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. She had a story. I'm thankful tonight that I've got a story and you've got a story. And what a Lord we have. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the tabernacle tonight? Let me say, because these nights have come and almost gone. We've got one more night. And I have just been honored and humbled to be part of the meeting again this year, 2023. And some of the most precious people in this meeting, and I appreciate the kind words that you have been speaking to me after the service. I am so undeserving of anything that God does for us. And I was thinking today how many other men that are more adequate, more equipped, could be here tonight and these days. But I'm just so thankful the Lord allowed me to be here. And for you to come out on a rainy Tuesday night and hear me, that humbles me. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I want to share with you quickly what the Lord has put on my heart for the service tonight out of Ezekiel 37. And if you're willing and able to stand with me tonight, I'd ask that you would stand. And by standing, we'll reverence the reading of God's word together. Thank you, Brother Tony. I appreciate all that the Lord is allowing you to do in these services and in this meeting. I love you and I appreciate you. The Bible said in verse number 1 of Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Well, let's don't get too far beyond that. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You can be seated this evening. I could have read on down through verse number 10, but I don't believe I'll get that far tonight. And so I want to stop and give you what the Lord has put on my heart for the service out of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel is carried by the Spirit in a vision to a valley filled with bones of slain soldiers that represent the whole house of Israel. The Bible said in verse number 10 of this chapter, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them and they lived and stood up on their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, These bones are the whole house of Israel. Israel at this time was dispersed. And what I mean by that is they were scattered among their enemies. They were also displaced. They were not where they should be. And they were dispirited. The nation of Israel was at a place where they had no morale. They had no enthusiasm. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in Psalm 137 and in verse number 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows, in the midst thereof. They had no heart to use their hearts. They had no morale. They were dispersed. They were displaced as a people, and they were dispirited. Ezekiel, as God's spokesman to the Jewish exiles in the land of Babylon, had been taken by the Spirit to a river. Earlier in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3, and in verse number 14, the Bible said, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Kabar. So he is taken by the hand of the Lord, by the Spirit, to a river. And then you'll find in Ezekiel that he is also taken to Jerusalem. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter number 8 and verse number 3, and he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. Then you'll find over in Ezekiel chapter number 11 and in verse number 24 that he is taken to Babylon. The Bible said, afterward the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea. And so you find that Ezekiel has been taken to these different locations, and now by the Spirit he is taken to a valley. Now, I said that a while ago in verse number 1, the Bible said the hand of the Lord was upon me. I don't want to just read that quickly. I don't want to just brush over that without drawing attention to the miracle of mercy that the divine God of heaven would reach down and put his hand upon the likes of human flesh. Now that's a miracle of mercy. That divinity would touch humanity. Amen. And brother, I don't want to get beyond that God would reach down and put his hand upon people like you and I. And so he goes from a spiritual high. The Bible said in verse number 1 that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. It lifted him up and it carried him out. He goes from a very spiritual high to a physical low. The Bible said that he carried me out and then he set me down. He set me down in the midst of the valley. He goes from a high to a low. And it really reminds me of our Christian walk of life. I'm always amazed at how we can be on the mountaintops at one time and then the next little bit we're down in a very low place. It almost seems like we're on a roller coaster at times
How we're up in the highness, and then we're brought very low. The Bible said he carried me. He carried me out. And then he, verse number 2 says that he caused me. He carried me out, set me down in the midst of a valley. And then in verse number 2, the Bible said that he caused me to pass by them round about. I'm glad tonight that I have a God that'll never carry me anywhere where there is not a cause. Aren't you glad of that tonight? The Bible said that he carried him out, and then he caused me to pass by them round about. I'm telling you, if God ever carries you anywhere, if he ever puts you anywhere, if he ever brings you to a place, there is a cause behind God's positioning of our life. Yes, sir. And so in verse number 1, Ezekiel is set in a valley. And in verse number 3, the Bible said, and he said unto me, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel and carried him out, set him down in the midst of a valley. And verse number 3 said that he said unto me. You know what that tells me? That the Lord just didn't take him to that low valley and walk off and leave him. Amen. If he's a speaking to him, he's still there in the valley with him. And I'm going to need 1, 2, or 3 to help me right here for just a minute. I'm glad I got a God that will not walk off and leave me in the low places of my life. No matter how drab the valley is, no matter how dark the valley is, no matter how deep the valley is, he's not standing in the shadows. He'll always be in the forefront of whatever and wherever we are. I say, hallelujah, what a God. He carried him, and then he speaks to him in that valley. And he is speaking to you and I tonight. No matter how low that it is in your life, I'm glad we got a God that won't walk off and leave us. The psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm glad I got a God that's just not a God on the mountaintops. When everything's going good and when everything's right in my life. But I'm glad I got a God that'll walk with me through the valleys of this life. Wow, bless his name tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. That valley. Well, you just keep serving God and living for God. And after a while, you find yourself in a low place. And you may be able to remember what I'm trying to say. That the Lord ain't going to leave you by yourself. But even in the dark valleys, you'll find Jesus. Ezekiel's in a valley. And the Bible said in verse number 2 that he calls me to pass by them round about. He's walking around in that valley that's full of these bones, these many bones, these dry bones. And he's walking around and nothing ain't getting any better. It ain't improving. The situation ain't getting any better. He's walking around. He's having to view all of this that's around him, taking it in. He's observing all of this deadness. He's observing all of this dryness and all of this dullness. And he's walking. Nothing's getting any better. It seems like that is the way it is in life a lot of times. We're just walking around things and it's not getting any better. As a matter of fact, seems like sometimes it's getting worse. And so he is surrounded by this deadness. He is surrounded by all of this dryness and all of this dullness. It's a place where there is no excitement going on. Y'all with me tonight? These bones that are in this valley, they had no moisture. They had no meat upon them. They had no muscle. They were dry. They'd been there for a long time. The Bible said they were very dry. In other words, Ezekiel is down to bare bones. He's down to just bare essentials or just a very meager elements. There is no muscle or moisture or meat on the bones. Just down. And you say, preacher, that's not a helping me. Well, these bones are not just the nation of Israel, though it was the whole house of Israel. And I know it's speaking prophetically, but if we can't apply it practically, what good is it to me tonight? I'm trying to tell you, these bones can be your ministry. These bones can be your marriage. These bones can be your church. These bones can be your children. These bones can be your heart. I'm telling you, it just seems dry and dull and dead. I don't know if you've ever been there, or you might be there tonight, but there comes times when you just seem to be down to bare bones. I'm interested tonight in one thought out of these verses of Scripture. He was down to bare bones, and there was no kind of excitement. There was nothing that was going on. There was a lack of interest. There was nothing taking place. Well, when we become as Ezekiel was in those places, down to bare bones, what can we do? There's three things the Lord has shown me. I just want to show you one tonight. But when we find ourselves down to bare bones, Brother Tim, I believe that we can take consolation in the mind of God. You know what the Bible said in verse number 3? The Bible said that the Lord gave this question unto Ezekiel. He said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And you know what Ezekiel said? He said, thou knowest. Thou knowest. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what kind of situation, condition that you might be in. But whatever condition or situation you are in life, you can always take consolation in the mind of God. Aren't you glad? Hey, I'd say it like this. It sure is good to know that God knows what's going on in your life. Hallelujah! What a God that we have tonight, that's sitting up there in the third heaven, and there is nothing taking place upon this earth that he does not know about. There's not a hair that falls from your head that God does not know about. Aren't you glad that you can take consolation in the mind of God? Thou knowest. I don't know. You don't know. Your preacher may not know. Your mama may not know. Your daddy may not know. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, God knows. I say hallelujah. What a God tonight. God's question to Ezekiel lets in a gleam of hope. Can these bones live? From a human point of view, I believe the answer could have been no. But from heaven's point of view, I believe the answer is nothing is impossible. It may be no from our point of view, but from God's point of view, it is nothing is impossible. A presumption would say yes. Unbelief would say no. But faith says, thou knowest. And I say again, it's good to know that God knows. He knows everything that has happened, and He knows everything that will happen. He has not learned anything, nor has He forgotten anything. God knows instantly with fullness of perfection, and He knows every possible item of knowledge concerning everything that exists or that could exist. He has never been taught. He has never been told. And He has never had a new thought. I say hallelujah. What a God. Ezekiel said, I don't know, but thou knowest. And you may be in that shape tonight. You don't know what you're going to do in the situation that you're in tonight. But I'm telling you, you can take consolation that God knows. He don't only know what I was. He knows what I am. And He knows what I'm going to be. He knows my past. He knows my present. And He knows my future. And I'm thankful for that. That we have a God, a brother land, that never worries about a thing. We have a God that never has to wish for anything. And we have a God that never wonders about one thing. Now that's different from you and I, but I'm glad that's our God tonight. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad He knows my uprising, and I'm glad He knows my downsetting. He knows when I'm doing well, and He knows when I'm dragging out the bottom. I say what a God tonight. What a God tonight. And I take consolation in the mind of God. Thou knowest. God knows. God knows what I'm feeling tonight. Aren't you glad of that? That God knows what you're feeling. I'm telling you, the deepest feeling that you have, your deepest emotion is not hidden from God. And you say, well, preacher, that ought to scare us to death. In one sense, it should. But in another sense, I'm glad He knows all about me tonight. He knows when I'm sad, and He knows when I'm glad. He knows my feelings. I'm glad He can be touched by the very feelings of our infirmities. If it's touching you, it touches Him tonight. Aren't you glad God knows? Take consolation in the mind of God. He knows what we're fearing tonight. God knows what our fears are. Mom and Dad, He knows the fears that you have about raising those children in this day and hour in which we live, and with the responsibility that I have having five children. I'm telling you, there's a lot of times, I'm being honest, I lay in my bed at night in the very dark of the night with my eyes open, fearing what my children are going to have to face. But aren't you glad the Lord knows all about our fears? And I'm glad He's in our tomorrow, and I'm glad He'll be there for my children like He is there for your children. I'm glad I got a God that knows what I'm fearing in my heart. I say bless His name. What a God. What a God. What a God tonight. He knows. You can take consolation in the mind of God. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what we are fearing. He knows what we are facing. I'm glad that He knows what is in front of us. He knows that some of you that are having to worry about what's coming down the tracks and what's in tomorrow. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, I'm serving a God that knows what we're facing. Don't that bring you consolation tonight? I'm telling you, Ezekiel was in that valley surrounded by all that dullness and dryness, and he probably in himself thought, is anything going to happen around here? And the question comes into his ear, can these bones live? Can my marriage live again? Can my ministry live again? Can my church be revived? Can this nation be revived? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But God knows tonight. And that's better than anything else that I can tell you.
When I was a little boy, I remember my mom and my dad taking us out to town when Christmas time would come. And they would have a parade, Brother Tony, that would come through our little town. And I remember as a little boy, I would be standing there on the side of that street, and that parade would begin. And I remember looking and seeing that fire engine coming down the road, and the parade was starting. And I would be standing there with my mom or my dad or my siblings, and we'd be watching that parade. And those floats would be coming by, and all of that we'd be trying to see and trying to view. And I remember as a little boy, after that fire engine done got out of sight, I remember they'd start coming, and I could only see maybe one float or two floats or three floats at a time. It wouldn't be long, and they'd cross the railroad tracks, and it was already out of sight. I couldn't see but so far that way, and just a little bit this way, and so far that way. But aren't you glad tonight that is not like our God? I'm glad I got a God that knows from the very fire engine all the way to the Santa Claus that brings up the rear. He knows the very beginning and everything in between all the way to the end. I'm glad He don't miss nothing. He knows up yonder around the curve. He knows through the valley and over the mountain. I'm trying to tell you tonight, church, you ought to take consolation in the mind of God. God knows, God knows. And I'm glad, thank God, to know that He does. Bless His name. What a God! What a God! What a God!